what does Paul mean when he says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Find out on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm so glad that you've decided to listen in to Grace in Focus today. We're learning from Romans chapter 8, and wow, there's so much in there that we can be encouraged and grow by. I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you about some other resources that we have available to also help you grow, so stay tuned for that. But as for now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob and Sean. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we have been going through different topics in Romans. We have all inherited interpretations from centuries past, and pastors teach pastors, and it just gets passed down. And it's hard to look at a book with fresh eyes and try to read these verses in context. All right, so in previous broadcasts, we looked at Romans 8:28, that famous promise that people like to apply to just anything in their life. And we showed that's not about every believer, and that's not about just anything happening to your life will turn out for good. That's not what Paul was talking about there. We've also looked at the golden chain in Romans 8:29 to 30. But Paul's not talking about salvation that every believer experiences, that Paul was talking about a special type of reward, a special glorification that's only available for those Christians who suffer for Jesus and who follow him. Well, now I want to look at Romans 8, first verse, and here's what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Bob, what does that mean?
Thanks, Sean. Let's close in prayer. This is a tough one. Let me say that the problem with this verse, it's a beloved justification verse for many people. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ
Jesus. And so the traditional interpretation is Paul is talking about what he was talking about in Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4, forensic justification. So if you believe in Jesus, you are forensically justified by God. God declares you righteous. Even though you're an ungodly sinner, God declares you righteous. And so then people read this verse and they think that means, well, since I've been declared righteous, there's no condemnation. So the condemnation here is supposed to be the flip side of forensic justification. But this is a different section of Romans.
It is. Romans 5 through 8 is the sanctification section in Romans, looking at progressive sanctification or present sanctification, God moving us toward holiness in our Christian experience. Romans 8, 1 is obviously introducing the last chapter of the sanctification section. To me, it doesn't make any sense that Paul would somehow now be flipping back to talk about justification before finishing up on sanctification. But secondarily, the problem with it is the translation, there is therefore now no condemnation, translates it as though the Greek word there was krema. Krema means condemnation in Greek, but the word is kata krema. Kata krema is a different word in Greek. The preposition kata put at the front of krema, kata krema, has the meaning of slavery to sin, or some commentators call it penal servitude. And if you read the commentaries on Romans, a number of these commentaries point out that kata krema here, as well as in 5:18, refers to no slavery to sin. So notice how it's quite different if you look at it that way. There is therefore now no slavery to sin.
So krema, condemnation, that would be kind of like the judge banging his gavel and saying, you're condemned. But you're saying this goes beyond the judge's pronouncement. This kata krema is actually the experience of the sentence itself.
Yes. In fact, BDAG, the leading dictionary on the New Testament, says that, and a number of the commentators pick up on that. And so basically the point is, Paul is talking about victory for the Christian. Victory in the Christian life. Remember how Romans 7 ends? He says, "O wretched man that I am."
Right.
"Who will deliver me from this body of death?"
So Paul, in Romans chapter 7, he describes this inner conflict between his inner man and his flesh, or his old man.
He calls it the mortal body.
The mortal body, right? He wants to do the right thing, but he's not doing the right thing, and he agrees with the law in his mind, but he keeps on breaking the law in his actions, and he's having this enormous struggle.
Exactly. And so when he gets to Romans 8:1, he's answering the question, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And his answer is ultimately, it's going to be the Lord Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you see, by the way, in the longer reading of Romans 8:1. As you know, there's a textual problem here. Most Greek manuscripts read more than "there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus."
Right. So your Bible translation might just stop right there.
If you have an NIV or a New American Standard Bible or a Holman Christian Standard Bible or a Net Bible or many others, they follow what's called the critical text. And that's a shorter reading here. But the majority of manuscripts, and this is the reading you will see in things like the King James and the New King James, go on.
"So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit."
One of the reasons why people leave the longer reading out is because they think it overly complicates verse 1. It makes it look like this katakrima, whatever that is, this condemnation, this penal servitude, is not for all Christians, but it's only for those who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh.
Right. And by the way, that should give you a clue that this is not about justification.
Exactly.
Because this freedom depends on your walk, whereas justification is by faith apart from works.
Absolutely. And if you notice down in verse 4, we get the same idea repeated again, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All New Testament scholars recognize that verse 4 actually says, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit."
Right.
A lot of them say, well, what happened in verse 1 is the scribe who was copying verse 1 looked down to verse 4 and goes, "Oh, you know what? I think it'd be cool to slip this up there in verse 1. So they just moved it in there. In my opinion, that makes no sense. When we study the practice of scribes, most of the scribes were extremely meticulous to copy only what was before them. Now, yes, occasionally their eye might slip, but they're not going to slip down three more verses and pull a whole section up to verse 1. And in addition, verse 1, if you understand katakrima, what it really means, it isn't true that every believer is experiencing freedom from sin's bondage.
Right.
It's only the believer who's walking according to the Spirit.
That's right. So Paul, in chapter 7, is experiencing sin's bondage. And now, in Romans chapter 8, he's saying there's no experience of sin's bondage to those who, and here's the condition.
When he says, "who walk not according to the flesh," a lot of people think walking according to the flesh means, okay, I'm going to strip clubs.
No,
I'm going to the bar, right?
Right, something
obvious.
I'm getting
obvious. Drunk. No. He means by walking according to the flesh what he did in Romans 7. Legalism.
Right.
Focusing on the commandments and saying, if I just look hard enough at the commandments, memorize them, meditate on them, look at them.
He was trying to be a good religious person, following those religious rules, and it did not help.
That is walking according to the flesh. And don't we get that today? Don't people say, well, let's see, you can't do this, you can't do that, you must do this and that. And they're not looking at Scripture. They're just making up rules.
Well, that's a great point, Bob. Obviously, Paul, when he's talking about the works of the flesh, couldn't mean like going to strip clubs and stuff like that, because obviously you can't get holier by sinning.
Right.
So, but it's not so obvious that you can't get holier by following these religious rules.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And notice, starting in verse 5, "for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." Notice the words, "set their minds." And then he says, "but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." That is, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What Paul is saying here is that the key to victory in the Christian life, and everybody wants it, right? But they're looking at this Christian book and that Christian book.
This secret prayer, that right. secret technique, this, right. that, and the other. They're paying gurus money to teach them how to be holy.
Right.
Paul's saying, no.
You need to be spiritually minded. You need to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And he goes on to say in verse 6, to be carnally minded, that's fleshly minded, is death. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, which is what Paul was talking about in Romans 7, that is leading to God's discipline, judgment, frustration, pain, and premature death. But he says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that what we want?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're focusing on the law in order to grow in your Christian life, that's going to produce death, the exact opposite of what you intend.
Notice verse 7, but the carnal mind, that is the mind that's set on the flesh, is enmity against God. Well, what does enmity mean? You're his enemy. He's your enemy.
Right.
Well, we don't want enemy with God. We want friendship with God.
That's
and he
right.
goes on to say, nor indeed can he. In other words, if my mindset is on fleshly things.
And fleshly, again, is religious legalism.
Yeah, now it could obviously include the sinful things, but it's also the well-intentioned legalist. Like Paul was, at some point in his Christian life, somebody pointed him to the law and said, focus on the law, take your eyes off Christ, and you're going to be a successful Christian. And he experienced failure. What he found is the way to success is to be spiritually minded. You need to look to Jesus. If you want to put it in simple terms, the key to the Christian life is loving the Lord Jesus Christ. I fall more and more in love with him, and I become more victorious. If I take my eyes off Christ, remember Peter took his eyes off Christ, he's walking on the water, and he began to sink. Well, that's the kind of thing that happens to all of us. If we take our eyes off Christ, we're going to sink spiritually.
I think that's a great thought, Bob. Listen, if you're interested in learning more about this, we recommend that you pick up a copy of Zane Hodges' Romans, Deliverance from Wrath, available at faithalone.org. Or go to our website, again, faithalone.org, and go to the audio files, and you will find a conference in 2018 where we go through Romans 5-8, and those are absolutely free for you to listen. You'll hear some great messages on Romans chapter 8 and other chapters. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that encouraging discussion about walking not by the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you've gained something from today's discussion, I'm going to encourage you to go deeper. And to do that, I'd like you to go to faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the website, you can get a subscription to our print magazine, our podcast, our blog post, even our theological journal. All of that is available through our website, faithalone.org. Maybe you like in-person events. We've got information about upcoming Bible conferences that we're doing around the country. So come to our website and learn about those as well. You might even consider giving a tax-deductible donation to help us keep the work going. Maybe you've got questions or comments. We love to hear from listeners. Here's our email. radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to do something unique and exciting, a question and answer session from Romans. You'll be surprised at how insightful this is going to be. So tune in tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.